Right now on VFN TV, think about the courts of heaven. You know, God is the judge. We're going to be talking about that and how the doors of God's judgment is closed according to what we're being told, including, is half of the church like Lot and half of the church like Sodom and Gomorrah? Have we made up our mind? We're ready to come out of where we are? And what Mother Teresa had to say about abortion when President Bill Clinton and Hillary, his wife, were there, right there during the press meeting. Today on VFN TV, right now, join us.
Welcome to VFN TV and the daily VFN radio program, where we're keeping the conversation light. That's L-I-G-H-T, light.
This is what I saw this morning. The United Apostates of America. Boy, when I saw that, my heart dropped. But it really set it for me that America has become, by and large, apostate now.
Deep-seated cultural codes, religious beliefs have to be changed.
We've got our back up against the wall in a way that we haven't before. You're going to have to bow or you're going to have to burn. But we're choosing to stand up, and if we burn, we burn, but we're not going to bow.
It was quite a shock for us because we used to watch the news on TV that ISIS took over Mosul, but we've never thought someday in a few hours we'll be out of our homes.
We in the administration and the government should give voice to the plight of Muslims living in this country.
I've come here to Cairo to seek a new beginning between the United States and Muslims around the world. One based on mutual interest and mutual respect. And one based upon the truth that America and Islam are not exclusive and need not be in competition. Instead, they overlap and share common principles.
We already know the news. We're trying to change that news.
You have to be blind not to know that America's in real trouble.
Christianity started as a relationship in Israel when God came to man. It went to Greece to become a philosophy, to Rome to become a religion, to Europe to become a tradition and part of the culture, and then to America to become an enterprise.
What I got so clear in a dream last night that I believe is pretty imminent for our country. They were invading the Southwest United States. There were droves. It was coming like a plague. They were ranked in these gangs, and these gangs were like military gangs. They had military equipment, but their ranking was based, I think, gained by their cruelty and by their insatiable desire to be even more cruel in the way they killed people. This was far more diabolical than ISIS. I mean, what I saw, just cutting off people's heads would have been merciful. It's pretty imminent for our country, the United States.
Every day of freedom is like an act of faith. And if we should die trying to live, then at least we die like human beings.
You know, we're at that moment in time, and what are we going to do with it? Understand this. If God's on your side, you're on the majority side. No matter if the whole world is against you.
You were born under an appeal to me. And when there was no way, I made a way. And no matter how bad it looks today, how big the giants look, if you call on everlasting God and you'll tap into that covenant, you'll take out these giants.
He asked me to come and pray for him and also pray for the city. Would you extend your hands this way? Father God, we just thank you for our new chief, David Alexander. We thank you for the man of God he is.
Lord, you said that the seat of the righteous will rise and the seat of evil will come down. And we just declare those words over the Gulf Coast, God, and we pray, Lord, that we would dedicate the city to you.
We've come this night to Capitol Hill to declare that our God is not Baal, our God is not Moloch, our God is not government, our God is not money, our God is not power, not pleasure, our God is not political correctness or any other man-made thing. We've come to this hill to declare that there is only one God, and he is the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. He's the God of Israel and of all nations. He alone is the rock upon which this nation has come into existence.
If you want biblical times, you've got it. You want the book of Acts? It's coming. You want the days of Elijah? It's here. It's time to become the Elijahs of the day.
But think about these seven mountains of culture. You could call them the religion mountain, which would be the church mountain, the family mountain, the education mountain, the government mountain, the media mountain, arts and entertainment and business. When we go into these mountains and make disciples, we can change the world.
May I say just a word to those of you who are struggling against this evil? Let me say to you to always struggle against it with Christian methods.
How many times have you screamed and yelled at your TV because of secular media was saying things you know wasn't true, some sort of political persuasion? They weren't even, they were given 5-second blurb to a miracle of God, and you got upset with it. But you go back to it again and again and again. What can you do? This is an answer.
Lancaster. Welcome to VFN TV. I'm your host, Greg Lancaster, and joining me just a moment is John Ramos. You think about this. I mean, just, I believe yesterday, last night, the first woman in many, many years, hundreds of years, I believe, I'm not sure how many it was, that the death sentence, the judge had issued a death sentence for her because of she was part of a plot to be able to kill her husband years ago. The Pope made a plea to ask the judge not to do it. The community asked, you know, a plea for her not to do it, not to be able to take her life. But you know what? Once the judgment was made, it was like nothing changed. And last night in Georgia, or this week, they put a lady to sleep, ended her life because of a sentence was served. There comes a time, you know, when all of our pleas are over, all of our cases over, that we didn't, you know, we continued, that we weren't repentant about a crime, and the judge comes in and begins to decide, okay, now it's time. That happened to a city called Sodom and Gomorrah. And God just said, okay, it's time. Something's got to happen to this. The world wasn't over, but Sodom and Gomorrah was over. As a matter of fact, I want you to listen to Mark Biltz as he talks about this, about Lot, half the church being like Lot, and half of the church, you know, being like Abraham. As a matter of fact, take a look now.
Where the church is at. How many remember the time of Sodom and Gomorrah when God judged Sodom and Gomorrah and it was destroyed?
That's right.
Well, the church is divided in half. Half the church may be like Lot, mm-hmm. who's righteous, but they're totally assimilated into Sodom and Gomorrah. Mm-hmm. The other half is like Abraham, who's up on the mountain interceding. And so we need to decide, are we going to be the church that's like Abraham or the church that's like Lot? Mm-hmm. Now, if you remember, Lot sat in the gates, right? That means he had authority. But the minute he tried to assert his authority, they said, who gave you that authority? Mm-hmm. Now, here's the amazing thing. Lot, in the ancient Hebrew, what his name means, the first letter is the Lamed, which is like a shepherd's staff representing authority. The next letter is the Vav, which is a nail that connects something. And the T sound is the letter Tet, which is the serpent. So Lot is one who's given his authority over to the serpent. And is that what we want to be like? No, we want to be like Abraham, who knows what's coming. Remember the children of Issachar. They understood the times.
The Lord is speaking to me. Look at me. Just judgment is coming. You said gate. God immediately said, San Francisco, judgment's coming. It's coming. God showed me last night. Glory was with me. Never, ever have I had an experience like that. Do you remember?
You have placed yourself in such a state of urgency and wanting to hear everything and know everything. So when God's speaking to you,
God last night,
it's It's like nonstop going on.
He gave me. I didn't know if I can live through it.
Yeah, you said that. And I said, you just need to be at peace right now because I.
No, I won't be at
but
peace.
But I said, just so he could sleep for a few hours. Just to, I said, Jim, you just need to be at peace.
God said,
because you said
a judgment and a storm, a shaking of an event. Mm-hmm. So horrible. Mm-hmm. Man has never seen it before.
Right.
What's coming?
Yeah, you were.
And I almost felt I was dying.
Yeah, you felt. He said
well, and judgment
that.
Begins at the gates, but and it all something's happening here on this show.
Rosh Hashanah, according to biblical history, means the opening of the gates.
Oh.
And Yom Kippur is the closing of the gates. That's what it means. It's the opening of the doors. That's what I'll be talking about tonight. The opening of the books. And you're going to see this scripturally, how Rosh Hashanah is God's courthouse, is now in session. The doors are open. The world is judged over the next 10 days what God is going to do. And then on Yom Kippur, the doors are shut, the gates are shut, and the sentence is meted out. So your vision or your prophecy is coming right at the very time of this coming week with the opening of the gates and the closing of the gates over the next 2 weeks.
God is meaning business.
Yes.
Something so major is going to begin to happen. We're in the beginning. I see like a snake in a, as I'm sitting here, fighting for its life. It's evil. And even the financial systems are going to go. It's not going to win. The world's not going to win. This is what God spoke to me.
Yeah.
He said, man can play games. Man can, you know, everybody in China, for instance, China's made all the businesses buy their stock back of their own companies. Mm-hmm. They've devalued their money. It don't make any difference if their stock. It's still broke. When the earthquakes come, the volcanoes go off, the tsunamis hit, the fire from the sky takes place, all these things. Man can't stop. All the signs, everything. You came here, I don't know, the first time. You were here probably a couple of years ago. You came here. You warned us. You gave the warning. From the prayer closet to the whole world, you warned. Mm-hmm. And now, today even, you're giving us more on top of more. And God's speaking. God told me to bring you.
Yeah,
He did. He said, bring the final warning. On the blood moons.
Yom Kippur has already happened already. Yom Kippur has already happened. This time has come. I just feel it in my spirit. I feel it, you know, that it's okay. You know, that the gates have closed. A decision has been made. And even today, even to this week, that they polled America and took a survey, and they're saying 2 out of 3 Americans still want to fund the abortion of children through Planned Parenthood. 2 out of 3. The decision has been made. We got to hold on. Realize if you're one of God's folks, you know, abide with Him, spend time with Him. We're going to talk more about that today, but there's a reason why the suicide rate is so high in the military, because they're fighting for a country that we're not even standing for. They're fighting for a constitution that we don't even know, that our government's violating. This huge suicide rate that's taking place in our U.S. military, the ones that are fighting for us while we're aborting our children, including, you're going to hear what Mother Teresa said about abortion right there in Washington, D.C. when she was there. Join us after the break.
This is VFN TV, where we're keeping the conversation light. Follow us online at VFNTV.com. We'll be right back. Welcome back to VFN TV with your host, Greg Lancaster.
Welcome back. John, when you hear those words, you know, there comes a point in time. You make your case. You know, if you're, you know,
coming plea.
From your plea, you know, you had a criminal justice major, mm-hmm. and I was in law enforcement. But there comes a time when a decision's made. I mean, you present your case, and mm-hmm. even the judge says, do you want to rest your case? Is this it?
Mm-hmm. There is a final decision, a finality to life.
Right.
Things don't last forever.
Right.
Things come to an end.
Mm-hmm. And so, you know, and we've been watching the court case go on for quite some time, mm-hmm. and we're pleading the case. You know, we're standing. God looks for a man to stand in the gap. And, for years we've been saying, this is the case. This is what's going on. This is what the judge wants us to do. He wants us to repent and turn back to him. You know, and after a while, I don't care if you've got the best attorney in the world. The judge says, okay, sit down.
Yeah.
I've heard your counsel. I've heard what you said. I see the one that you're representing.
Mm-hmm.
And if you didn't choose the right advocate, Jesus Christ, you know, and cry out for justice, then at that point, you know, you're looking at, I mean, 2 out of 3, John, you know, surveyed. Of course, you have conservatives versus liberals. And if you poll conservatives, they're like 80% wants to defund Planned Parenthood and mm-hmm. stop abortion. But God doesn't see us as political parties. He sees us as people.
Right.
And 2 out of 3 Americans, it's reported now, still in the midst of all this evidence of, that's presented by the Center for Medical Progress, which hopefully soon will have their interview on, that they still want to do it. They want to still have babies aborted and sell the body parts and let the government, you know, you, the taxpayer, keep funding it. But, you know, there comes a point in time when you think, like, I'm scared of you. If you have no problem taking this baby and breaking its parts, and you don't, and you can, I mean, it's difficult. I make mistakes, and I've sinned, and I feel bad about it, and I repent. But I couldn't imagine trying to live with murder, you know,
knowing, and
not coming to the point of going like, God, I murdered. Forgive me. I'm sorry. Yeah. I got it. And like David did. David said, you know, my bones are crushed. My sins ever before me. And right now, America, our sins ever before us, you know, and it's like, God, we're sorry. But it's like 2 out of 3, or it doesn't even faze them. And this is the last day of September. We're entering into, if you haven't yet heard this prophetic word about, do you have that prophetic word about?
Yeah, I sure do.
You've got to hear this word. And this is about, imagine being in a boxing match and, you know, you're getting so many punches and you can feel these punches. I can feel these punches going on. And you're surprised you're able to keep standing after them.
Yeah.
And read this prophetic word. This is a very timely word about what's taking place in each month of this year and all the way into January.
Well, this prophetic word came in a dream.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm just going to read you the dreams. And I had a dream that I was titled Unprepared and Unaffected. And the dream revealed that during the next phase, all economic classes would experience varying degrees of hardship. Some will notice little change and will be in a position to help others, while some who could have prepared did not and will need help. I want to stress that the fall of 2015 will only be the beginning of economic turmoil. The economic shifting that is coming will continue to increase and intensify and eventually affecting the entire world in the years to come. As was illustrated in the boxing analogy, there will be short periods of reprieve, but we're entering into a historical time that will result in great change for people throughout the world. And he talks about these doors. The doors of August 2015 through January 2016. And he says, on April 5, 2015, I had a prophetic vision that I will share with you just as I received it. While some of these things seem to be obvious fulfillment, other aspects are open to interpretation. And so he says, in the vision, I found myself in a long hallway with many doors. Each door represented a month of the year, beginning in August of 2015 through January 2016. When I opened the door, I was able to get a picture of what life was like during that time for the people in the United States. The first door I came to had August written on it. And I opened the door, and when I looked inside, there were people walking around, talking and living life. I got the sense that everything seemed normal. The next door had September written on it. And when I opened the door, at first, everything seemed...
Which is the September we're in.
Correct. And he says, at first, everything seemed to be normal. But then I began to see dollar bills falling from the ceiling. It was as though the beginning of the month was normal, but something happened that caused things to change. The next...
A lot of things happened in September.
A ton of things.
Couldn't even keep up with them.
Well, and not to mention what happened in China.
Our best friends are communists now around the nation. Yeah. And communism is known for denying God.
Yeah. Yeah. And then what happened in China was a very, very big deal.
China, Putin, Cuba, you know, all...
The list goes on and on.
The list goes on.
The next door had October written on it. And I opened the door and saw people who were crying and very upset.
This is October 2015. You're looking at right now.
Yeah.
Coming around the corner.
I sensed that they were upset because of what had happened in the previous month. The next door had November written on it, and when I attempted to open the door, it was locked. It is possible that in the near future, what is behind this door could be revealed. The next door had December written on it, and when I opened the door, I saw a rioting and looting taking place in a large city. The people were angry and very upset, but I didn't know why. The final door in the hallway had January written on it. And when I opened the door, I saw extreme violence and killing that looked like war. And I could not tell where this was taking place, but I saw U.S. soldiers fighting.
Makes me think about, you know, Perry Stone's prophetic word. We're going to make that available to you on the VFN Torch. But it's about a 15-minute prophetic word, but he talks about the riots, and he talks about, I mean, this is like the person who believes, you hear him speak, he's like, you know, the rapture's coming, you're not going to go through nothing, and, you know, I mean, and...
We love Perry.
But now he's talking, we do love Perry. Yeah. But he's talking about tribulation right now, about that the streets are going to be rioting, that the government's not going to be able to cut checks if, you know, 48% or something of society lives off of the government till. That's 40.
And they do.
And that's almost 50% of America that all of a sudden the money you use to get food stops, which is food stops. The money you use to pay your rent stops. And then the money you use to be able to pay for your car, your transport, your where you get around, your fuel, that stops. And people oppressed you. They did not tell you about freedom and that everything that's in you is in me and you can do anything. They never taught you that. And so the only thing that you know is that, and that stops. That's like diving in your oxygen tank, go out underwater. You're going to see people begin to fight.
Yeah. We don't have to look too far to see.
Fight for food, fight for substance, and fight for, you know, how to survive.
Because the expectation is that the government has provided these things.
But we are the government. That government makes no money.
Of course.
But people don't know that. Yeah. I mean, the people that are living, they don't realize that the reason why money's coming to you is because your neighbor paid taxes right next door to you. And so they pay their taxes, and then the government transfers that wealth into a check format.
Kind of redistributing.
Yeah. And that's how it works. Yeah. They don't have like a business that makes money.
They don't produce anything.
Yeah, yeah. Although Planned Parenthood had, based on the reports, was it one point?
What we understand is $127 million in profits.
After they pay for all their expenses.
After expenses.
That doesn't sound like a nonprofit with me.
No.
So, you know, here we are at this point, and the best thing you can do is to begin to think about how can I get active in life? How can I begin to, how does food grow? Does it just come out of the drive-through window when you drive up, you know? How do, you know, are hamburgers really made from cows? Where do cows live? Where do cows come from? You know, how do things grow in the ground? And I mean, the basic things of how to live life.
Eggs, do they come in these square containers?
Yeah. And, you know, you can sign up for the VFN Torch at VFNTV.com. It is our newsletter to you on a weekly basis. But we have prudent preparation that's available for you. And that's just, it comes to you, you know, in your email when you sign up as a free gift immediately. And if you want it and you don't have access to email, you know, write to us. You can see right here on your screen where you can write to us. And we will make that available to you. We can sign up for the letter. But also, you're going to need to be able to keep peace. Be very peaceful. And we have this week an offer just to give you, you know, for signing up to become a partner today, partner for any financial amount you feel led to do so on a monthly basis. And it is the weapon of peace. How to maintain your peace. I want to say this, you know, I want to thank all of our VFNTV partners who stand with us.
Yes.
And it's amazing. How to be able to maintain your peace when these things happen. Remember, Jesus was sleeping in the bottom of the boat when the disciples are going, don't you care about us? And the thing about it is, I think this turmoil that you're going to see and that you are seeing, that is the answer to your prayer.
Yeah.
So just relax. You know, realize that, you know, for example, King Cyrus was prophesied about 200 years before he came to pass by the prophet Isaiah, who God was going to touch his heart to be able to bring God's people back in to build the temple. I mean, God knows you. He knows the numbers on your head, but you need to be able to maintain that peace in the midst of this great turmoil. I mean, what they tell a woman who's having a child, they said, you just need to relax, which, you know, but you got to relax. You got to be able to focus. And one way to do that is the weapon of peace. And we have that available to you as a gift to you for partnering for any amount you feel led to do so each month. You can do it online by going to vfntv.com, or you can write to us. See the address right there on your screen at 6500 North Pensacola Boulevard, Pensacola, Florida, 32505, or you can even call us. But now's the time to stand. We have so many tools available for you, so many prophetic, timely words to be able to give you automatically for your partnership. And that's how we do this. We do this together. And the Lord says that's a place of the commanded blessing. The gift for this particular offer is the weapon of peace. It's a huge weapon. And it's not a weapon you use on someone. It's one that you receive from God, because he says, my peace I give to you. My peace I live. We got to go back to the bottom of the boat now. We got to relax. We got to go to sleep with Jesus and just wait for the storm to pass. And you're going to find many people hungry for the Lord. Join us after the break.
This is VFN-TV, where we're keeping the conversation light. Follow us online at VFNTV.com. We'll be right back.
Talking with your spouse about holiday finances can be stressful. With Focus on the Family Minute, I'm John Fuller. Bethany Palmer shares about the importance of discovering your money personalities and then analyzing previous money fights.
Then one of the things that you can do is talk about the last holiday season, because now you have a perspective. So you can look back at the last argument that you had and identify where the conflicts came in with purpose. Instead of just saying, well, we're just going to go into this new holiday season and everything's going to be different because we know our money personalities. No, you've got to take some time and review the past and say, oh, that's what you meant. You didn't mean that you wanted to go crazy with shopping. You just wanted to make sure that everybody was taken care of. Okay, I get that.
Understanding your spouse's view of money is important for holiday harmony. You can hear more from the Palmers today at FocusOnTheFamily.com/radio.
Here we are. Yes, VFN-TV, the daily radio program, a network that God is building through your gifts. Amazing thing, because it can't be built by human hands. Things that God does cannot be built by human hands. So make sure that you join in and just offer up at VFNTV.com and sponsor and become an underwriter today. Listen, we are shining the light, keeping the conversation light on all who want to be in the light, who listen, our audience. That's right. VFNTV and the daily radio program, a network that God is building through your love gift. Sponsor today, partner today, become an underwriter. Go to VFNTV.com and follow the prompts.
You know, there's over 25 million children living in fatherless homes in America. The father's absence and the degrading of the father's role is just all around us. You know why? Because the enemy wants to destroy our perception of what a father is. But I got news for you. The reason why the all-outright attack is on the natural father, because Father God loves you and has got a plan for your life, and he's trying to break down, the give you a life of no grid to be able to find what a father is. Let me tell you something. Father God loves you and has a plan for your life. As a matter of fact, he made a roadmap. He made a way to him, a bridge to him. He loves you so much, and he wants you so much in his family. He wants to be your father that he gave his son, Jesus Christ. Listen, you can go to meetmyfather.org, meetmyfather.org, where you can meet Father God through his son, Jesus Christ. We share a couple of our stories to kind of give you a grid that we're all the same. But you know what? God loves you and has a plan for your life. Find him. Meet him. Go to meetmyfather.org. You've got to meet him.
Welcome back to VFN-TV with your host, Greg Lancaster.
Welcome back. John, two out of three, in the midst of all this revelation of what's happening in abortion across Albuquerque, New Mexico.
Yes. Wow.
Yeah, we're going to have this on a future program. The executive director for Center for Medical Progress. Albuquerque, New Mexico, according to him, is they abort up to the time the baby.
No abortion laws.
No abortion laws. And we have this. This happened. You can see this on the VFN Torch. I mean, you have to be 18 years or older. But this, they're actually, they just don't value life. Mm. And remember this: if they don't, if somebody doesn't value your neighbor's life, they don't value yours. Mm. And if you haven't read the book, I believe it's called Fatherhood, by Dr. Dobson, you got to read it. Baby boomers, you got to read this book, because the future is they won't check, if this continues on, mm-hmm. they won't check us into nursing homes. They'll check us into the end of life processes. Because in this book, this lady's son, John, mm-hmm. you know, who you love your children. Right. According, of course, over in Georgia, we're seeing some things. We'll talk about that in the future. They just had a bad moment.
Yeah.
They tried to kill you. Give them a, you know, anyway. And so, but you got to read, it's a good read, but it's Dr. Dobson, if anybody knows about family and yeah. fathering it. And so this mother, you know, she's up in age, so she's in and out a little bit, and you love your son, and so she's talking to her son. And he's saying to her, well, Mom, you want to do this? I know you always wanted me to be able to get my degree.
Mm.
You always wanted me to be a teacher or something like that. And so he had his college tuition there. And this is going to help me get my tuition and pay for it. And you know you always wanted me to be successful. And so she's in and out, because it's kind of hard for us to comprehend. Like, are you really going to kill this baby? Are you really going to kill your mother?
Right.
And what he was trying to do, it looked like he was checking her into an assisted living facility where she was going to have friends and that type of thing. But it was a dead end zone. She was actually signing paperwork that checked her into the end of life.
Wow.
And they were going to give her a particular drug, the way they do babies, I guess, mm-hmm. in the womb, that was going to kill her. And as politicians, the whole thing talks about how it was so intertwined between politics and this particular drug they were supporting was the very drug that is going to end
his
mother's life. And it was just a great
So a transference of wealth that was going to happen to this young man?
It was going to go from mama to son.
Wow.
You have to. For some reason, this generation don't understand. You need to get your own job. You need to go out and work.
Lord.
You know, we got to empower. I mean, people think if you tell your children you're going to need to work, because there's so many, you know, one out of eight in the 80s, young people were considered narcissists, according to CBS News. Now, one in every three are considered narcissistic.
Wow.
One in every three.
Wow.
And, you know, and they really, when you're talking to a narcissist, they're just going to say, how does this apply to me? You know, yeah. And so this son in this book, Fatherhood by Dobson, we'll make it available to you on the Torch, how to get it, is he's basically talking his mother in, without using the words, in your life, so all the resources you're going to use from this point on in nursing homes, assisted living facility, medical, just breathing, medicines. Buying groceries, medicines, it'll go to me for my education. Right. And she's in and out, because as a parent, you're going like, are you really trying to kill me?
You can't possibly be telling me to end my life, right?
Are you okay? I'm trying to get this straight. I mean, I think about it right now.
Mm.
You know, if we don't value children's life, and we don't have this clip. Do we have the clip available for the Good Morning America interview of the parents that just had their sons drug them? And this is happening. If we don't value, our children's life in the womb, they won't value our life.
Mm.
This particular family in Georgia, they were going to have their sons fixed them a meal. They ate the meal, and they had no idea their sons drugged them with drugs, and they were going to go to bed, and their sons were going to kill them, according to their reports, in their sleep. They beat their own mother, stabbed their own father. As a matter of fact, this is Robin Roberts, I believe her name is, with Good Morning America, talking to the parents, and the parents are coming out going, they had a bad moment.
Mm.
Take a look at this.
A Georgia couple whose two sons allegedly drugged and brutally attacked them in their home. This case drawing national attention, especially after these parents publicly forgave their sons. It's still a mystery why the sons did it, and they have not entered a plea and have not been convicted of anything. We spoke to Yvonne and Zachary Irvin just moments ago, but first, I'll look at their story.
Please send someone to My children are trying to kill me.
It's the chilling 911 call that stunned the nation.
My husband has distracted them, and I was just able to get to the phone. Please hurry.
An unimaginable scenario. 22-year-old Christopher Irvin and his 17-year-old brother Cameron allegedly attacking their parents, and police say attempting to burn down their suburban Atlanta home.
Okay, how did they try and kill you, ma'am?
They're trying to strangle us and shoot us, and they put Xanax in our food, and they thought we were asleep. They tried to attack us.
Minutes later, police arrived, discovering Zachary Irvin stabbed and covered in blood. The 50-year-old reportedly telling them his son hit him on the head with a shotgun. His wife, Yvonne, found lying beside their bed, badly beaten.
She not been able to make that 911 call. It's very uncertain what would have happened.
The sons, now behind bars, charged with two counts of felony aggravated assault and first-degree arson. Both will be tried as adults, facing as many as 60 years in prison. This morning, despite the horror their sons put them through that night, Zachary and Yvonne say they are standing by their sons. And joining us now are Yvonne and Zachary Irvin. Good morning to you both. Thank you for being here. I know that you had to spend some time in the hospital. How are your wounds healing, both of you?
Well, for me, I'm doing a lot better, both physically and mentally. God has really been good to me and helped my wounds to heal fast. I still have, you know, a couple of little scars here and there, but for the most part, they're healing really well.
Zachary, you spent the most time in the hospital.
Yep, and I'm healing fine. You know, God has truly worked a miracle.
And I know you're here to deliver a message to people, but before we get to that, what happened? Can you tell us what happened?
Well, we don't know what happened. I mean, it's just our kids had one bad moment. You know, it was one bad moment. And God will reveal in time to us and to the world, you know, get all the answers, the questions answered, you know, and things of that nature. But for now, you know, we just need to focus on healing.
But you can understand people, especially watching at home, who have children.
Absolutely.
The question is why? Why? That comes over up again and again. Yvonne, were there any kind of signs, signals, anything? What was her behavior before this happened?
And that's the crazy part. Nothing. I mean, our children had prepared dinner for us the night before. You know, that's why when in the call, you know, I told you in the call that I found out during the whole process there had been Xanax put in our drinks. So we were drugged. We just didn't know what had happened. We didn't know, but we said we forgive our boys because that was totally out of character for them. They're not violent. They've never gotten in any type of trouble with violence.
No behavioral issues or drug issues or anything?
Just common teenagers.
As a teenager, you know, they have issues with, you know, cleaning their room and, you know, having attitudes sometimes when you tell them to do something. Just like every family, I'm sure, experiences, but nothing that will indicate anything like this.
It was shocking to some people when the police report indicated that one of your sons said since the age of 11, he had been thinking of something like this, which makes some people speculate, what was going on in the home for a child to having these thoughts for so long?
Again, we don't know. We just don't know.
Have you had a chance to communicate at all with your sons, to talk with them at all?
Yes.
And what have you said to them, and what have they said to you?
Well, we communicated to our sons that we love them unconditionally. We told them that we forgive them. You know, we told them to, you know, as always, anytime there's an issue or something like that, I've always taught my sons that there's going to be consequences, whether it's something you do good or whether it's something you do bad. They had one bad moment.
And I know you're calling on the public, too, to hopefully be able to forgive your sons as you have.
Absolutely. Absolutely. You know, people don't know our sons, so that may be easy for them to say, well, I can't forgive. But if it was, I ask people to just take it personally. What if it was your child? What if it was your son? What if it was your relative, your friend?
And you did say these types of actions lead to consequences. You said that. What do you feel the consequences should be for your son?
That's up to God to determine that, you know. You know, I just pray for mercy.
You keep referring to it as one bad moment.
Mm-hmm.
There are people that are going to say that is putting it mildly. They attempted
no, it's not.
To.
It's not mildly.
To do what they did, mm-hmm. to attack you as they did.
Right.
That's a bad yeah. moment.
Yeah. There's people who are incarcerated now that have had one bad day. You know, there are people who, you know, are put in certain situations to where, you know, rage or something has caused them to have one bad moment. And that's why I keep saying it's one bad moment. By no means am I discounting what has happened. You know, I look at my wife, I look at her scars, I look at, you know, the things that happen. I look at me.
Your faith is remarkable, and your faith has certainly been tested. So the final message, Yvonne, that you want for people this morning?
Well, the final message, I think, for me is just, like I said, study the Word, because that's what's going to help you through any situation.
Well, Yvonne and Zachary, I know this is not an easy time for your family and for you to come forward and share your story as you have. We mm-hmm. thank you.
Thank you.
And wish you all the best.
Thank you.
Going
thank
forward.
You.
My heart goes out to these parents. I mean, what's happening in society today, basically everything's against authority and the authority of the parents. But think about this. They're saying one bad moment. One bad moment. And it justifies everything in their hearts, you know, basically right. what you're seeing. But you tell me this. And by the way, the book is Fatherless. You're seeing right here on your screen, Fatherless by Dr. James Dobson. You got to get this book because we're going to, this son is taking his mother into the place basically that we would think is assisted living or nursing home. But it's actually, if she signs this piece of paper, they're going to kill her and all of her inheritance goes to them. What happened to these parents? Those kids wanted their money and their wealth. They wanted everything that they had. Mm-hmm. It was just one bad moment. But what does everybody tell you that decides to go to a Planned Parenthood or somewhere else? They say, listen, this pregnancy was one bad moment. We just need to take the life of these parents. Oh, I'm sorry. The life of this baby and move on past this one bad moment. To me, that was so profound. As a matter of fact, Mother Teresa, in the face of President Bill Clinton and his wife at that time, Hillary Clinton, she told them exactly how evil this is in taking the life of children. If we don't defend the life of children, don't you understand? It's going to be just like what happened in this Atlanta, Georgia home, with this Marietta, Georgia home where it was in Georgia.
Yeah.
It's going to be just like that. Why should, if we don't value their life, why would that, and that's a spirit, so why wouldn't that spirit come on them not to value? They did not value their parents' life. Let's listen to Mother Teresa and what she said about abortion.
But I feel that the greatest destroyer of peace today is abortion. Because Jesus said, if you receive a little child, you receive me. So every abortion is the denial of receiving Jesus, is the neglect of receiving Jesus.
If you look at that, everybody's applauding what Mother Teresa is saying, except two people.
Wow.
It was on the right, her right hand, our left hand. Look at the TV. You know who that was? That was Bill and Hillary Clinton, President Bill Clinton and Hillary Clinton. They did not think the same way. They did not value life. And you know what? If we don't value our children's life, all the way from the time that they're conceived, guess what? They're not going to baby boomers were huge. They're not going to value our life. This is what I believe the word of the Lord is to America.
Yeah.
We have to value all life. Everyone's life is valuable. More we get back from the break.
This is VFN TV, where we're keeping the conversation light. Follow us online at VFNTV.com. We'll be right back.
Welcome back to VFN TV with your host, Greg Lancaster.
John, I just highly recommend for our viewers and our listeners to get the book Fatherless by Dr.
Yes.
Dobson. I mean, it is a story that helps merge the governmental, political politician who's actually benefiting off power and money, the business CEO who's actually producing this particular drug, and the son, it goes zooms in on the son, who's basically getting his mother to sign away her life so this drug that these politicians and CEO approved of can take her life so she could take his, take her money. But tell me this, John, tell me this. Isn't the truth, the reason why somebody takes the life of their baby is because they wanted the money that the baby would use up. They wanted the time that the baby would use up. So if you kill, I mean, who's to say, and
follow
I don't know.
Follow the money. It's always follow the money.
Who's to say, and I don't know this, but what if these two sons, they had eight other brothers and sisters, but they waited to a more appropriate time to you know, it's like, you know, eeny, meeny, miny, Moloch, you know, which child are you going to keep? They abort. They didn't. I'm just saying this as an example.
Right.
They abort eight of their children. They decide to have these last two, and they are the ones they keep.
Mm.
And so there's a spirit of death
over
that whole thing. And, of course, they might not know it, but Satan knows it. You know, Ephesians 6:12 says we wrestle against spiritual wickedness, and that without repentance, that thing is looming over there. And now all of a sudden, one night when they sleep, when the baby was sleeping in the womb, going through the normal processes of growth, all of a sudden, the bright light came on in a Planned Parenthood because the veil of the womb was busted and the baby had yet to see the first light the baby sees are the instruments of these people who are going to kill it. And all of a sudden, they pour in some sort of chemical solution. All of a sudden, they start grabbing at his arm, grabbing at his leg, pulling, crushing body parts, thinking about, we can sell this, we can sell that, we can sell this.
Mm.
Because that baby would have cost me my time. It would have cost me my life. It would have. This is just one bad moment. This is just one bad moment. We'll get beyond this. I forget. I'm sure God forgives me. I mean, this is my 10th child that I've done this way. With no repentance whatsoever. This is what the Lord told me. And as we were walking out the Malachi mandate, and hopefully there'll be a link available to you on the VFN Torch to understand this. For 10 years, we walked out this prophetic Malachi mandate. And the Malachi says, Malachi chapter 4 verse 5 and 6 says, you know, before the great and dreadful day of the Lord comes, he would send the spirit of Elijah, or send Elijah, and he would turn the hearts of the fathers to the sons and the sons to the fathers, or else I'll smite the earth with a curse. So there was an optional thing. Will the hearts turn? For 10 years, we're prophesying. Turn your hearts. Turn your hearts. This is the word. If you don't turn your hearts to your children, they'll turn their guns to you. And that's exactly what just happened in Georgia. The strange thing is, it's like we've been turned over reprobate minds. Nobody even senses how bad that is and how brokenhearted we should be for these parents who don't understand. They just beat you with the butt of a gun and stabbed you and drugged you, and they wanted everything that you have. They don't understand. You need to go out and get a job. You need to go out and be educated. You need to go out, and they're just going to take it from their parents. But isn't that exactly what we did to our children? 57 million children since 1973. If I have this child, you know what's going to happen? I'm going to have to quit my job. If I have this child, I'll have to share my money. If I have this child, it won't be about me anymore. It'll be about me and my child.
Mm.
So I'm going to just take one bad moment. I'm going to go to a Planned Parenthood clinic or Albuquerque, New Mexico. Reports are you can go there up till the second before the baby's born.
Mm.
These are the reports. And you can, it's just one bad moment. Beating the baby with the butt of the gun, stabbing it with the doctor's knives, breaking it apart, sending it out. Look at all the denial. We've done so much of this. I believe we've done so much of this. 57 million, more than any loss of any war that we've ever had since the Revolutionary War.
By far.
By far. Maybe 25 times as many deaths. And so many of us have done this. That's why you're seeing the nation going, we can't face this. Let's just go on. It was just one bad moment. You know, let's keep funding Planned Parenthood. Let's just say that it's not taking up a life. And as Hillary Clinton said, you know, in the last 90 days or so, we're not going to go back.
Mm.
I mean, you can't ever undo death, but we can repent for it. You know, we can say those children were important. They were very important. And they're very important to God. And we talk about the laws that are being passed right now, and people are saying, you know, this latest law about marriage is the big law. If you read the Bible, that wasn't the issue. Was there was so much innocent bloodshed done by Manasseh and all of their crew that when Josiah finally got the scriptures and began to read them, his secretary read them to him, he understood God was angry with Israel, with Jerusalem, with Israel, and he was going to bring judgment down because of all the innocent bloodshed. It wasn't about sexual practices. It was about the innocent bloodshed.
Mm.
It was the innocent bloodshed. Yes, you know, everything, sin is sin. But if you're killing, if you kill somebody, it's worse than what you did sexually. You know, murder is worse, you know. That's killing is bad. And so we can repent. Our God forgives us. Our God forgives us. But we have to first acknowledge it. We can't say we had one bad moment. We got to say it was sin, God. It was sin. And God knows it's sin. So he's not like, oh, really? He's going, you finally got it. And imagine if these kids go back to these parents and go, we've been plotting all along. We've been evil. We lusted after your money and after your wealth and your insurance. And all we want to do is just serve you the rest of our life. And if somehow we can repent before you, you know, and live our life out in honor of you, those parents, they're forgiving now. You can imagine them just going, you know, I forgive you. And if men know how to forgive, our God forgives. But we first have to say, this is not one bad moment.
Hmm.
This is the taking of innocent life. I want to pray right now and pray for us. Please remember to pray for us. Father God, I just pray right now for our audience. I pray, Lord, that you would touch us. You would touch our audience, that you would help us and forgive us, Lord, of all these 57 million bad moments that we've had in our nation since 1973. God, forgive us for the sin of abortion, Lord God. Prevent, Lord, the death of the elderly. Help us to value all life, Lord God. Help us to understand that you're the giver of life and you're the only one that can take life, Lord God. Lord God, we ask you to forgive us for the sin of murder across this land and all the innocent bloodshed like Josiah did, Lord. And we want to live rightly before you, Lord God. We ask you, Lord, end abortion, end the division and the strife that's in all the families' homes where there is no peace. There's only truces. The peace will come again to the families of America. Peace would come to marriages. Peace would come in our homes. Peace would come in the church. And life would be honored again. Dear God, end abortion. Send revival. We ask in Jesus' name.
We want to give special thanks to all of our sponsors and partners. Visit VFNTV.com and visit our sponsors for all of their contact information, phone numbers, web addresses, emails. Call them today.
You've been listening to VFN Radio. I'm your host, Greg Lancaster, and we're so glad that you joined us. Don't forget you can catch us at VFNTV.com on your mobile applications. You can download it at VFNTV.com. Go to your Apple apps, your Android apps, and all those wonderful apps. We enjoyed our time together. And don't forget, 24/7 on VFN Radio. God bless.
Wow, at VFN Radio, we are looking for greater ways for you to be able to connect anywhere you go. We know that you can listen to VFN Radio on the go through the app, but now we also have the podcast. It's a great way for you to be able to automatically get all the segments totally downloaded to your digital device no matter where you're at. You can go to VFNTV.com and click podcast, and you'll configure it and set it up so that no matter where you're at, you automatically have all of the highlights automatically downloaded on your digital device. VFNTV.com, click podcasts.